Shabbat Shalom. It is Parasha Tzav, as you can see, command or given order. And as such, we have been reading from Vayikra 6, 24 to 31, Jeremiah 7, 21 to 27, and Acts 4, 8 to 17. Now, Tzav is a lovely lesson about God's sacrificial rituals. And thankfully, Rabbi already spoke a bit about that last week, because today, although we are pressing on with our Torah reading cycle, there could be no one that have missed that today is not a normal Shabbat, is it? This Shabbat is different from all other Shabbats. And there really is only one topic that I would ever want to talk about today. Only one thing in my mind, and I think probably in yours too. Because tonight is the night that we've all been waiting for, preparing for weeks. The best night of the year, according to me. But I think a lot of you would agree. It's the night when we gather around the Seder table. There is no night quiet like it. You know, of course, all of God's festivals are a joy to celebrate, and I wouldn't like to miss a single one of them. But Pesach sticks out somehow. It is, as Michal said, so much more than just a dinner or a cruise. It is so much more than commemorating a historic event, so much more than our lovely fellowship and singing. I want to, today, describe Pesach as a portal in time and space. Because when we sit down around our Seder tables, as we will do tonight, we won't just be sitting down together with our friends and family, those that we have invited to share our meal with us. But we are at the same time sitting down at the table together with Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam as they are kneeling on the dirt floor in their house in Goshen, fresh blood slowly dripping down their doorposts. And we're also sitting down at a table in Joshua and his family's tent in the camp of Gilgal, celebrating the very first Passover in the land. And we are visiting King Josiah in the castle in Jerusalem after he's found the scrolls again and brought back Passover to our people. We are lifting a glass of wine together with Ezra and Nehemiah just after they've returned back from the Babylonian captivity. And in a way, we're also sitting down at the table together with the generations to come, those who are not born yet. But when their time comes, they will also sit down around their Seder tables. Why am I saying this? Am I just trying to be poetical? I do like being poetical, but that's not all. You see, all of us, from age to age, as we have fulfilled the Pesach, we have drank from the very same cup of wine and broken the very same piece of unleavened bread, like a continuous meal, the cup of redemption and deliverance, and the afikomen, Yeshua's blood and body. There could only be one and only, one the same that we eat, all of us, each year. And Yeshua is handing it out to us through that portal in time and space to every person sitting around their Seder tables. As it is said, while they were eating, Yeshua took the piece of matzah, made bracha, broke it, gave it to the Talmudim and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Also he took the cup of wine, made the bracha, and gave it to them, saying, "All of you, drink from it, for this is my blood." Yeshua stretched out his hand and handed the wine and the bread to Moshe, to Aaron and Miriam, to Joshua and his family, to Isaiah, to Ezra and Nehemiah. He handed it to all of Israel, all who wanted to take it. And he will hand it to us tonight again, as if we were all sitting there together with him, eating the same timeless meal. But this isn't all. The night of Pesach isn't just a portal in time and space. It is also a portal between heaven and earth. A time when God reaches out to us for a very specific purpose. And he's demanding of us that we give an answer back to him. You see, eating this special bread and wine means something very specific. You don't eat it to stop your hunger. You eat it to make a statement to God. In fact, when you stretch out that hand through the portal to take the bread and the wine, you're signing a sort of agreement together with him. When God gave the commandments regarding Pesach, he made the covenantal part of it very clear. Not just by using matzah, and we can actually read in today's parasha how matzah is the kind of bread that is the bread of the covenant, the bread that is served in the temple, the bread that is offered together with the sacrifices, a very special kind of bread that is only used for special rituals between us and God. And Pesach is such a special ritual, because through Pesach, God is taking a census. He's making a distinction between people. And he's asking where you stand. This is exactly what happened that first night of Pesach in Egypt, when the angel of death went around to all the houses that had not painted the doorposts in blood. And this could be houses of Jewish people who decided that they did not trust their ancestors' God. They did not trust him to set them free. They wanted to stay in Egypt. And if they were people, families like that, and there are historical documents that seem to suggest that they were, then in those families, their firstborn would have died that night, just the same as for the Egyptians. On the other hand, if they were Egyptian families who had seen all these miracles that God performed and decided to trust in the God of Abraham rather than their idols, decided to push away their pride and go and stay the night in the house of a Jewish family with blood on the doorpost, then their firstborn would have survived that night. And the day after, they would have left Egypt together with Israel. The Exodus would have become part of their story too, the Pesach part of them. So that day, about 4,000 years ago now, God called people to make a decision. And this same choice is actually presented every year at Pesach Eve, forever, still. It is still presented to us. Now, God is not going to send the angel of death walking around our houses anymore, but I'll show you that what he is doing still doing is something even more terrifying. This is what we can read in Exodus 12. If a foreigner staying with you wants to observe Adonai's Pesach, all his males must be circumcised. Then he may take part and observe it. He will be like a citizen of the land. But no uncircumcised person is to eat it. Anyone, whether convert or native born, who eats anything with chametz in it must be cut off from the community of Israel. In other words, if you are not Jewish, this is the time to come and join, get circumcised, celebrate the Pesach, become one of us.
Hallelujah.
But if you are Jewish, you also have a choice. Celebrate the Pesach or be cut off. What does it mean to be cut off from your people? It's something very serious. To some, it might actually have meant physical death, because back in the days, if you were kicked out of the camp, kicked out of your safety structures alone in the desert, then you might have died. But being cut off from your people is a concept that goes a lot deeper than that. It means being handed over to the spiritual powers outside of God's people. The God of Israel is no longer your God. You're not in his camp anymore. You chose not to follow him, so now you're on your own. God will not come and deliver you anymore, give you his salvation anymore, because you said that you didn't want it. And Pesach is a perfect example of this concept. Because if you're refusing to take part in the Pesach, drink the cup of salvation and deliverance, eat the covenantal matzah, then you're effectively saying that you are not interested in God's salvation. You are telling God that his deliverance and salvation is not for you. Be it our deliverance from Egypt or beyond, you're just not interested. But when you partake in the Pesach, in the prescribed way, as we can read in Scripture, what you are in fact doing is confessing to everyone, to God, that God is your Redeemer. That's what his celebration is all about. And we're commanded specifically to use the example of our exodus from Egypt to describe this redemptive power that God has. But we don't have to stop there, do we? God is so much more. He is the embodiment of redemption. And redemption is not just being freed from enemy forces, from foreign lands. It doesn't just apply to national catastrophes and situations. He can set us free from all sorts of things. And I think it's worth reminding ourselves a day like this, not just about Egypt, but about the absolute, every generation, every day manifestation of God's redemption. Because that's also part of what Pesach is. You know, Moshe experienced deliverance not only at Pesach, but many times. For an example, when he was running down the mountain and smashed the stone tablets in despair after seeing how our people was worshipping the golden idol. And it looked in that moment like everything was lost. And yet, God gave us another chance. A new set of stone tablets. He opened another door for us to get out of that bad situation, horrible situation we had made for ourselves. Joshua experienced God's deliverance from many enemy armies again and again, miraculously, before his eyes. But God also delivered Moshe and Joshua in very personal ways. And I don't want to go too deep into it because it's a big sermon in itself, but you know, Moshe, he had all these traumas, all these weaknesses he was struggling with. Joshua had all of the insecurities, so much fear in him. And God helped them to overcome it all, to become so much more than they could ever have become on their own. He set them free. King Uzziah, he repented for Israel's lawlessness and God had mercy on him. Set him free from trouble. Ezra and Nehemiah, obviously, they were delivered from Babylon. They all had their own deliverances to celebrate this day together with Pesach. And so do we. How many times have you not been freed, delivered from a situation by God, a physical situation, an illness, a challenge too big for you to fix on your own? Surely that's happened more times than you can ever remember. At least that's true for me. And how many times have you sinned? And how many times have you been forgiven? We're a messianic synagogue. I assume that you have accepted Yeshua's sacrifice, that you eat that matzah and drink that wine, knowing full well that he became the sacrifice that set us free from the punishment that we really deserve from our sin. Yeshua's very name means deliverance. It's no surprise that he is at the center of Pesach, at the center of the celebration of our deliverance, the celebration of our Yeshua. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God is our Redeemer? Do you believe that God is your Redeemer? As much today as in the days of Egypt? Partaking in the Pesach meal is the communal cry over millennia from all Jewish people together as one, declaring that God is our redemption. If you also believe in that, then you have a lot to celebrate tonight. And you won't celebrate it alone, you will celebrate it with Moshe and Aaron and Miriam and everyone who knew the salvation of God. I would say who knew Yeshua, our salvation. I do hope that you're looking forward to tonight as much as I am. It will be amazing. It will be the best night of the year. Amen.